God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series through the Apostles' Creed. And tonight we pick up on the concept that Jesus is now going to be the judge of the living and the dead. Before we get into that aspect of the Apostles' Creed, we need to sort of set the stage here. We believe, as scriptures teach, that God created all things, the heavens and the earth, the universe, and all that is in them. And that Adam and Eve, once in the garden, were created perfect in the image of God. However, they disobeyed God. They lost that image. They sinned. And God's perfect creation was ruined. But not without hope. Hope was still given to Adam and Eve that, yes, a Savior would come. The restoration would take place. And Christ would be that fulfiller of that restoration. Tonight we remember the crucifixion and our redemption. It is at the cross that our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ dies for the forgiveness of our sins. That is where our redemption takes place. The forgiveness of sins. This is the gospel message the church preaches and proclaims. Now this actually connects very well in the Apostles' Creed when we talk about Jesus dying, his resurrection, ascending to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. He will be the judge on that last day. We are reminded from Romans chapter 14, verse 10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat." We will stand. We will be there. Whether we're alive or dead, that will take place, and all will be judged. Now, the real question is if you've ever had to appear in court, you might be a little nervous. You might be saying, well, how is the judge going to rule? We all want the judge to rule in our favor. So we have to ask ourselves, how will we be judged? What is the basis of this judgment? Well, let's pick this up from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Paul writes for us, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Now, you may be saying, but Pastor, this sort of implies that we're going to be judged by good works. And the answer is, well, yes, that is what Scripture does say. And you may be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought we are saved by God's grace through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, so that no one can boast, as Paul reminds us in Ephesians very clearly. This is why we celebrate the Good Friday event. And that's also true. I do not want to take away from what occurred at the cross. Our salvation did occur at the cross. We are saved by God's grace through faith. But how are we judged? You see, there are two different things going on here. Let me explain it this way. You see, for those who believe and trust in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for those who are in Christ and have that faith which trusts in the promises of the death and resurrection of our Savior for the forgiveness of our sins, there is a response that occurs within the person. As we truly understand this great gift of God, there's a response. We have faith. We believe and trust in that promise. And we now love others as God has loved us. You see, as we do things in love, as we live out our faith, we are doing those good works because God has a little bit of a different definition of good works than we might be thinking of. God's definition of good works is anything that is done through faith. So needless to say, you have to believe in the trust and the promises of God to do good works, and it is that which we are judged. Let me pick up another passage of Scripture to illustrate this point. Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers of my brothers, you did it to me." How was the king deciding here between those on his right going to the kingdom of God and those on his left not going to the kingdom of God? Basically, good works done through faith. The final judgment, as Scripture reminds us, is based on that. That's why James is very, very clear. He basically says, if you say you have faith but there is no works, then your faith is dead. This is the connecting point here. Yes, we are saved by God's grace through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. We are judged by works, the response of that faith. And this is where the Athanasian Creed comes in. Let me just read a little section of the creed, not the whole creed here. Near the end of it, line 38, "At his coming all men shall rise with their bodies and give an account of their own deeds. Those who have done good will enter eternal life. And those who have done evil will go into everlasting fire." Scripture is clear on the final judgment, how the judge is going to decide based on works. Now, when we talk about that based on works, we have to ask ourselves, wait a minute, how many good works have I done? Or how many bad works have I done? Well, fortunately for us, we better not keep tally here. Because if we actually keep tally, we're going to get ourselves into a theological problem here. And let me put it this way. Because going back to our Matthew passage, to the people who were on the right, so to speak, the sheep who were going to inherit the kingdom of God, was there ever any clause in there by saying that they didn't do that much bad stuff? The answer was no. It only focused upon the good works. Well, what about the bad works? Well, we have to pick up another Bible passage to remind us of that. Let me pick up from Micah chapter 7, verse 19. "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." What happened to all our bad works? All our evil deeds, they went into the sea. They are not brought into account. So think of it this way. You're before the judge, and the judge says, "Okay, what am I going to do with you? And there are no charges against you. There are no bad deeds against you. Just all the good deeds. Because you are in Christ. You have His merit, His satisfaction, His grace upon you. Guess what's going to happen? Eternal life. Salvation." Picture it this way. Let me illustrate it with this example. More than likely, all of us have lost a loved one, someone who was close to us. And we may remember at the funeral, or maybe even after the funeral, and talking about our loved one, all the wonderful things that they have done. And fair enough, we all have done wonderful things, especially believers in Christ. Now, do we ever bring up, maybe a year or so later, all their sins that they've ever committed? Did we ever sit there and say, "Thank you, Lord, for taking this person out of my life because they did this to me, and this to me, and that to me"? Now, there might be some people who think that way, but I'm going to guess that most of us don't. Why? Because upon their death, usually we start not remembering those bad and evil accounts. so is true with those who are in Christ. Those who believe and trust in Him. Those who believe this day in which Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Faith clings on to this special promise of God. And if we believe and trust in this promise, guess what God does to us? Because we have died with Christ, as Scripture says, what happens to all our bad deeds? They're drowned into the depths of the sea, as Micah 7 verse 19 reminds us. So those in Christ will only be judged by their good works. No, evil works will be mentioned. Now, unfortunately for us, this gospel message sounds a little too good to be true. This is not a license to go out and go ahead and sin. Remember, I said the good works is a response of our faith. Should there be a response of our faith? The answer is yes. But then also let me share with you another piece of good news with this final judgment in connection with our Lord and Savior's death. That final good news is, think of it this way. How easy is it for you to take a piece of paper, line up on lines 1 through 10, divide it in half, and on one half of the page, name 10 problems, 10 evil things, 10 things you'd like to correct in and of yourself because they're just not good. And then on the other half of the paper, I want you to come up with 10 things of that you have strengths, that you are really good at. These special spiritual gifts that God has given to you. If you're like me, I can fill up that first half of the page pretty quickly. I can find 10 of my faults very quickly. But I am a little perplexed and challenged to find 10 strengths. Not so with God. You see, God buries our sins. He puts them on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when Jesus dies on the cross, He bears the wrath of God's punishment. He takes away our sins. And so in one essence, that first half of the paper, with all my shortcomings, with all my evil thoughts, with all my evil doings, is drowned, as Micah reminds us. And then He looks at me, because I am in Christ, and sees all the strengths, all the things I've done to the glory of God, and says, come up into heaven. Unfortunately for us, our sinful nature likes to kick in. How easy is it for us to forget our own sinfulness? How easy is it for us to forget our own mistakes? In one essence, it's kind of strange. We spiritually blackmail ourselves, don't we? We bring up our past to somewhat torture us. We bring up our mistakes to sort of slow us down. Our mind is almost deceiving us. It forgets about the cross of Jesus. It forgets about the death and resurrection. It forgets about the judgment. Why? Because in one essence, the devil is trying to accuse us. The devil is trying to get us to leave the cross of Jesus and to go our own way. The devil is trying to get us to put away the cross of Jesus and say that we can earn and merit our own salvation. But if we truly take a look at our own lives, we find that this isn't true. Our salvation belongs to Jesus and to Him alone. The mistakes that haunt us, as the final judgment reminds us, will not accuse us. The gospel message of Christ's death and resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, is the clear, wonderful gospel message we proclaim. So we look to the cross and we see God's grace. We know that the final judgment will come, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed, but we do not fear the judge. We come before our Lord, seeking His grace and His mercy. And we ask the Lord to strengthen us. Why do we need that strength? Because we do live in a world of sin. We are haunted by our past events. We are discouraged by things of this world. And so we ask the Lord to strengthen us and to encourage us, to remind us that, yes, we will make mistakes, but because we are in Christ Jesus, God doesn't hold us accountable for those mistakes. There is no condemnation, as Scripture reminds us, for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is what the final judgment is all about. This judgment is actually the good news for those who are in Christ. Too often we think of the judgment as something to be feared because we don't know how the judge is going to rule. But the truth of the matter is, because we are in Christ, we do know how the judge is going to rule. So this day, we give praise and thanks to what our Lord has done. His death, His resurrection, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we could even forgive ourselves. And we ask the Lord to help us and to strengthen us as we also forgive the sins of other people. This again is another challenge as Christians we have a hard time with. We got to remember, Christ so lovingly forgave us. All our sins are let go. How easy is it for us to forgive others? Again, this is very challenging and doesn't come from your own work. It doesn't come from any strength you may have, but it comes from the one who brings the forgiveness of sins, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who brings the restoration of the whole world upon the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.